If you follow True Crime, be sure to follow True Crime Today wherever you download podcasts. There we cover everything in the world of true crime, like major stories such as Chad and Lori Daybell or Alex Murdaugh, to smaller, lesser-known hometown stories that make a major impact on their communities. We take a deep look at the people, places, and psychology in real time that all come together to create these stories. Search True Crime Today wherever you get your podcasts and press subscribe. So what do you do when your absent father decides to show up to your own wedding?
So in the thank you card, do you actually say to them, hey, it's been a while? I don't know.
We're going
to
dig into that today.
Let crazy my crazy family.
Welcome to the program. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss any episodes of the show. And if you're on Apple Podcasts, you can get advanced episodes of the show right there. All you got to do is subscribe to our premium channel and get access for 3 days free. Access to the archive, the advanced episodes, everything ad-free. Check it out there on Apple Podcasts. It's Tony and Stacey Cole with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Hey, we would love to hear some crazy family stories from people listening. You know, if you've got just the crazy uncle, if you have the crazy aunt, your mom, your mother-in-law, oh my God, the mother-in-law stories, we get them all the fucking time and we love them.
Yeah.
All you have to do is go to crazyfampod.com to share your crazy family story. And you just, no names. We don't want names. We don't want to out anybody for being crazy, but just Tell us what's going on.
Yeah. Tell us those stories. It doesn't always have to involve a triple homicide. It's really, it's more so like what on earth happened at that Thanksgiving dinner that no one else that then ruined it for all of eternity. And now no one shows back up, whatever it may be. You can write in anonymously at crazyfampod.com or by calling 833-CRAY-FAM. That's 833-272-9326. We greatly appreciate that.
Do you remember the guy who was, I think, was it the woman who was just exasperated with her husband because he would chew his toenails? Do you remember that one?
Yes, I do remember that one.
See, that to me, that's what we're looking for. And obviously we love all the stories, but just the thing where so-and-so in the family does this weird thing and doesn't think it's weird. That's what we want to hear.
So you mean that's weird? That's not a normal thing in families?
Tony?
I don't do it. But I do remember seeing my father doing it when I was a child.
Okay, yeah. I'm sorry, love. That is weird.
I remember him like on the edge of the bed and he'd pull his like foot up to his mouth and he'd like... And I'm sure today if I ever brought it up, he'd be like, I didn't do that. That's just not... Because anything I remember from childhood usually had never occurred. So I've lived this.
Yeah, like, you're making all this up.
Fictional life. And these are all like fake memories. But no, I remember that. And it was like gross. My dad also I chew my nails too. But he chews them down to like nubs. Where
I know people who do that.
Or like there's barely any fingernail left at all. And I don't quite understand how you get it that low. Because
it takes practice.
They were like that when he was my age. I remember him like that. And I thought, well, maybe in all those years, you just kind of get it. Like, but my fingernails are still pretty normal looking. And I mean, they're not long, but they're normal looking. But his are always like, it's like pencil eraser or something.
Oh, ouch.
And it's like,
well, and that hurts and it takes practice. I used to be a nail biter and. Yeah. I finally stopped. Right now, my nails are the longest they've ever been naturally. Mm-hmm. And it takes a lot of work I can tell there's still something there where I just want to gnaw on them. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what that is. And I don't know if it's, you know, just stress and anxiety or is there something gratifying about having something in your mouth? I don't know.
it's a desire to have all of the goop from underneath. Your body is missing something, and when it's missing something, it craves it. So it's craving the toxins from underneath your fingernails because it needs the toxins to cleanse itself. So if you just put a small amount in from underneath your fingernails, you'll cleanse the other toxins out of your body. They'll come right out. It's a purifying ritual.
It sounds like a spa day.
I could totally make like a TikTok video about this and people will be like, holy shit, I'm going to start doing that.
Oh, no shit. It would just seriously, it would take off in about a day. People would be like, have you done this thing with your fingernails yet?
I would love, I should just create a channel that's just all complete bullshit. It's just, God, if you do that, this, and but you do it very seriously, very seriously. I've done a couple over the little while where it's been like, and I do appreciate the motivational make you feel good. Some days you need that. Some people need that. Some days you need that. I think everybody could use that some days. But some of them are just over the fucking top. It's just like, yeah. I'm in my car on my lunch break and I'm going to do a voiceover of me pretending like I'm thinking while I'm drinking my Sonic. And it's going to be really, really deep thoughts that, I mean, it's almost like a fucking SNL bit sometimes.
It is. And I know people, I've got people in my family that do those. And I just kind of sit there and go, maybe it's cathartic to do these videos. I guess I'm not in the same mindset. I would rather just sit there and zen out.
I think to each their own. I see nothing wrong with like being motivational or like saying something. But when they get like so fucking overproduced where it's like I'm staring into the sunlight and then I'm doing a voiceover for myself. That to me just screams extremely narcissistic. That doesn't scream like you're really meaning anything. It just screams narcissism when it's
at my video.
When we're adding like 8 layers of acting to this, like, cool. If you got something positive to say, say it. Just say it in the camera and be authentic about it. I see nothing wrong with that.
Do you think they're trying to get discovered?
I think there's a lot of that people don't know what they're doing. And narcissism. It's an outlet for everyone to be as narcissistic as they want. It's a buffet.
Look at me. Yeah. Look at me.
It is. I mean, it's the desire we had going into radio to be on the air. Yes. But now like everybody has it and thinks they're capable of it.
and that's where it's funny. I mean, I will admit, I don't know anything about TikTok as far as editing videos, but I can do a voiceover like nobody's business.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, if you want to hire me for that, fine, but you're not getting me on video. I went into radio for a reason.
Yeah. I'm going to start doing a lot more video here in the new year. In fact, there's a green screen right behind me right now.
No shit.
Because I'm working on getting the studio kind of set up for more of that stuff. So, no, I'm going to venture into that more as I have more time.
Well, I think, and I think I voiced this to you once, we should do like a crazy family happy hour where we're actually live and on video. I think people would love it.
Yeah. That sort of stuff is what I want to do. So you're going to have to be on camera for a couple things.
Though. I'm open to it. I can do it as long as it's a control that I get to control what I look like. And it's not some news station deciding to film me from below trying to get nose hair. You know,
turn the contrast way up and we're going to see everything. Yeah.
No, we'll put a filter on.
You're gonna look so blurry. You're gonna look. I have a ring light here. I wonder. Yeah, they sell them at like Walmart now. Like large quantities of them. It's crazy.
I suppose
it is. It's like there's a whole aisle to like being on camera. It's insane. I get it. It's just something I never ever would have imagined a couple years ago. But
it reminds me of something of like a movie Jim Carrey would have done.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
it would have been really interesting 15 years ago to do a movie where everybody is trying to be on camera, like in a real ridiculous way. We would have looked at that and went, what the fuck is wrong with people? And now it's just completely fucking normal to walk through the store and somebody's doing a TikTok as they walk. I mean, I was my fear years ago. Like, I always thought, well, that'd be kind of neat to do this, but I'm going to look like a crazy person. Not so much anymore.
Not at all.
And now I really don't want to do it because I think people look, because I see it and I'm like, they look like crazy people. I'm like, I don't want to be that.
Join the fun.
I know. It's like, damn it. But all right. Well, what do we got for our first story here today?
All right. Well, our first one, I feel so bad for telling my sister, no, I can't give her any money to help her with her rent. Every month she asks me for money because she doesn't have it. And every month she tells me she is going to save her money. Yet here we are again. Last month they put a note on her door because she was late. Now instead of saving her money, she spent all her checks. She has had 4 this month. She gets paid like 4 times a month. What the hell?
Weekly? But how much are those checks, I guess?
Yeah, it says, and now she's short $600 for her rent. I feel like she never will learn unless I just tell her no.
That's correct.
But I'm like, what if they evict her? I hate this.
So?
Why are you paying her rent? It says, I hate this. I don't have money to just give it to her. I have children and my own bills to pay. Also, she doesn't even pay me back like she says she will. I already told her no, but I'm just tempted to just give it to her. But I also want to stand my ground and make her learn. Yeah.
Yeah. If you'd like to eventually find her dead somewhere, keep going. Just keep giving her the money. It may be extreme, but I'm sorry if she's not figuring this out and nobody and people stop enabling her, she'll figure it out. Or she's going to go end up living with her parents or something. But if she's making enough money to make rent and she's spending it poorly, that's not your fucking problem.
Why does she feel it's her problem?
Well, I'm sure there's some sort of guilt thing going on there. And there's a lot of dynamics that could be there. You're both adults, I'm assuming. And if that's the case and she does make enough to make rent, but just doesn't spend it correctly, well, then that's her problem. It's one thing if she's not making enough for rent and, you know, you need to help her or, you know, maybe she moves in with you or something if she's not making enough until she gets on her feet. But this doesn't sound like that. This just sounds like she's taking her checks, spending them on other things and then not having enough money for rent. And what happens? You get evicted at some point. And sometimes people need the giant slap in the face to wake the fuck up and be an adult.
And that's just it. At some point, you have to learn that, you know, if you're going to live on your own and you have to pay rent, you have to pay it on time and you have to pay it on a regular basis. That's how life works.
I can't imagine being a landlord. I've thought of that. I've thought of like investing in some properties and doing. I'm like, no way in hell. And people are like, well, you could hire someone to manage it. Like, sure, I know I could and I probably would, but that still doesn't make them pay. And there's so many fucking things now where it's like, well, you know what? There's the laws are on their side. They could like fucking shit out the place for 2 years, not pay you shit. And you get the expense of redoing the building for however many hundreds of thousands of dollars that is. I mean, I know there's ways of doing this, but holy shit, I don't even want to attempt it. Just seeing how human beings are today.
You know, and I like to think of myself as a clean person. I know when I moved out, I did the bare minimum. Like I cleaned, you know, I wasn't living dirty anyway, but there was probably some cleaning that needed to be done afterwards. Like maybe the oven needed to be, you know, cleaned up a little bit better than I did it. But there are people who live like fucking pigs and they don't care. They don't care that they're going to lose their deposit. They just leave. And
they have no assets. So they don't care. Like they can shit out the walls. You have to replace drywall and all that. And it's like, where is this money-making proposition here after all these expenses? I mean, I get in some cases, if you have a nicer, you know, but that's well beyond, I think, most people to invest in luxury apartment buildings.
Absolutely.
But
yeah. My mom owned both sides of a duplex. She lived in one side and she rented out the other. My grandmother used to live in the other side. And then when she passed, my mom rented out the other side. And the people that she had in there were very nice people. There was a chiropractor who lived there. And they still crapped up the place. Like the carpet had to be pulled out. They fried food all the time. So there's just this
grease,
there was a grease film on the walls. Yeah. And it just smelled of like a state fair when you walked in. Yeah. So you had to fix that if you were going to rent it out again.
Can't imagine. I know. Yeah. No. I mean, if you care about your sister, you got to do tough love here. I don't see any other way around this. There just isn't. I mean, keep enabling her, fine. If that's going to, but you're doing that for your own peace of mind. You're not doing it for bettering her. You are doing that for yourself. So there you go. Keep enabling. Shit will get worse. It will continue to decline even more. And she'll not only be short on rent, she'll be short on other debts to other people. And bad things will happen. So,
yeah. Yeah, you're right. She'll have to go to Guido to get some money.
Try pulling her out of this now by being an adult and showing her by example what adulting is. So there you go. All right, what else we got?
Amen. All right. I am a 16-year-old male. I found out I was gay in middle school. I came out to my paternal grandparents shortly after, and though they consider themselves somewhat conservative, they were very supportive and even educated themselves on the LGBTQ plus terms. I was absolutely thrilled. I told my maternal grandparents about 2 years ago when I was on vacation with them. I wear makeup and I cross-dress sometimes. So they told me they apparently that they knew as it was clear to them. My grandmother, 62 female, told me that they would always love me. But then my grandpa, who's 65, said, but we have some concerns. And I asked what they meant. And I was genuinely confused. They said there are a lot of people in this world who don't like gays. Some take that hatred out on those kinds of people. So make sure you keep your head down and be careful. This was a little damaging to me, accepting myself as I was only 13 or 14 at the time. They were essentially telling me that I should not be my beautiful, bright, very gay self.
No, they weren't.
Yeah, I hear you.
They were not saying that at all. They were saying, we love you. Look out because there's shitty people who don't like you.
Yep. Yep. I'm, you know, maybe a couple of years ago, I would have fought you on that. But seeing the hatred in the world and nightclub shootings, you know, people going after drag queens and things. I want you to be yourself, your authentic, true self. But I also want you to be careful.
Yeah.
And that's and just like, be vigilant.
It's like saying to my fiance, if she has to walk through a dark alley late at night, which I would never want her to do, just be careful. You know, there's some, and she knows already that there's shitty people out there, but you do it because you love somebody and you care about them and you don't want them to get hurt by the horrible, divisive, shitty world there is out there. Don't make people divisive that aren't being divisive. They said they love you. They didn't argue. They didn't say they don't agree with you. They said they love you, but we're concerned because we see the horrible people out there that are going after folks who are gay. And they're not saying don't be gay. They know that that's not the option. They're saying we care about you. You probably already know that you need to be careful. We're saying just keep an extra eye out because there's shitty people out there who are not loving and supporting like we are. I hate this where shit gets turned around on people that are just like, look, I care about you. Just be careful. I love you.
We're at a time where people that are filled with hate feel that it's okay to come out and say the hate. And again, you know, it's not that we're blaming the victim. We're blaming the haters.
It's not a victim thing. It's not even being a victim.
For some it is.
Well, we're just the grandparents saying, we love you. Just be careful out there.
Yeah, no.
Nobody even has to be a victim in that statement. I mean, if you're just saying that to, like, if you said to me, you're wearing an Obama shirt into a redneck bar, be careful. Am I a victim because I'm putting an Obama shirt on?
No, but you might become a victim.
I might become a victim, yes, but you're not a victim in that statement of just, I care about you. Just be careful. The sooner everyone cannot be victims, the better we'll be, and we can just live our lives and be proud of who we are and not search out ways with people that we love to become victimized when you're not being victimized.
Nope. That's a great point. It really is. Anywho. All right. Next story. My father is in his 70s and we are low contact. He is an alcoholic. He put me in some very bad positions as a child. My parents divorced when I was 10 and I went low contact when I was 12. I told him if he wanted a relationship, I was fine with it, but he needed to make the first effort. I was the kid and he was the adult. After that, I can count on one hand the number of times that I've seen him. He lived until recently when I moved within 15 minutes of me my entire life, yet he never made an effort. I've made sure he knows how to get in touch anytime my information changes, but I do not reach out any more than that. Well, I'm 37 and female and recently got married. I invited him to the wedding. I figured it was a 50-50 shot of him showing up. I mainly invited him so that I know I've done everything I am willing to do to have a relationship with him. It is up to him to meet me halfway, and he never has. Well, he actually showed up to the wedding. And true to my prediction, he was the first to leave the party. But my main issue is this. I'm currently writing out my thank you cards. He and my stepmother gave us a card with a small amount of money in it. It was the most he's ever given me in decades. I don't know what to write in the thank you note. He always moaned about having to pay child support and made my life for my mother and me difficult even after the divorce. What do I say to someone when there are both a million things to say and yet nothing to say at all? The wedding is likely the last time we'll ever see each other, and this thank you card is likely the last time I will communicate with him. To be honest, I think I will be relieved when he does finally pass. A relationship is a bit like Schrodinger's cat. It both exists and it doesn't.
I don't even know. Don't send a card. what is there to say?
So?
I mean, what revelation do you plan on making in a thank you card from your wedding when you really didn't have much of a relationship before, during, or after this? Either, you know, one of two things is going to happen. He's going to have some sort of revelation and decide that he suddenly wants to have this relationship or put the effort in, or whatever is holding him back will suddenly break in his psyche and he'll be this totally different person. None of which the above will ever happen.
Yeah.
And if you want that relationship for yourself, then drive the 15 minutes and try and make that relationship if you want it. Try and create something there. You're an adult. If you want to have it, try to have it. If you don't want to have it, don't pretend it's there and that something is being withheld from you. It's done. I mean, don't, I guess, become a victim of someone here that you clearly know how they're going to be treating you. That's a great way to live through life and be really sad and upset and feel hurt. And you have every right to be, but don't let it define you. Find a path and stick with it and live your life and don't let this plague you.
Yeah, I think that's really accurate. And I'm not sure what you're going to achieve other than, you know, driving that stake in a little bit harder. But
what's the goal? You know, I mean, sending that letter, what is, just say thank you for coming. If you just want to acknowledge their presence, that's cool.
Yeah.
Thank you. You don't need to go into, why did you not have a relationship with me my whole life? I can't believe it. And then you shut up. If you want to do that, go talk to them. Go meet up sometime and have a conversation. I don't think the thank you card in the wedding is the way to do it. But if you want to have that, he's still alive. Go do it because you're only going to have so much time. And if you don't, then don't, and make peace with that. But decide, don't decide what you want. You are in control of this. He is not. You already know what he's going to do. Nothing. So if you want to have the relationship, go have the relationship on your terms. And if it's rejected and he just clearly will not communicate with you, then there's your other answer. But it's not you.
I think you're right. And that thank you note is not the place to do it. Send just a very vague, generic thank you note. Thank you for attending. Thanks for the gift of money. You know, I'll think of you when I spend it, or whatever the crap is that you're supposed to say in thank you cards. And then, you know, let the dust settle a little bit. If you want to pursue something, then do it separately from the thank you card, because it's, you know, there's a temptation that he's going to open it because it has to do with something he attended. And if I send something afterwards, he may never look at it again. But that's not the appropriate place, because then you're going to be the bad person here.
Well, and there's a lot of ways you should look at this. If you want to have that relationship or try to have some semblance of a relationship before they're dead, is you're going to have to kind of hear out where they're from, what they're coming from, or why they acted the way they did. Doesn't mean you have to accept it or endorse it or all that, but you can at least have some context. And maybe there's something there you don't know about. I'm guessing there's a lot of guessing on assumptions here on what people's intentions were over the years. Now, very true, if you're a parent and you're abandoning your child, there is no excuse for that. But having some context, like maybe there's a mental illness going on. Maybe, you know, and with that mental illness, they believed this of you, or that you felt this way about them. And they were fearful and their illness was holding them back from acting a certain way, or made them completely incapable of being a productive parent. And they thought it was best that they just stay back. Again, none of them good logical things for a parent to do, but that's what a mentally ill person would think. And that's how they act. So I would be curious as to know, and try and have that talk if you really want to know where they're coming from. And maybe, you know, opening up some of those gates, answering some of those questions for him would make this a little more comfortable. It sounds like he's extremely uncomfortable around you for whatever reason that may be. And I don't know what it is. It's certainly not your fault. You were a kid when all this started, but you're 37. They're going to die sometime. Make a decision on what you want and be at peace with it, because any of them can be right for you. There's no right or wrong here. It's what you want for you, and do it for you.
Well, that's the thing, and to be at peace with it, that, you know, if you decide you are not going to pursue any sort of discussion with dad about what the fuck happened, you need to find a way to be okay with, you know, if he dies tomorrow and you never got resolution to what the fuck happened, you know, was it because I was a girl and you didn't relate well to girls, or you never wanted a kid, or whatever it was, or you had brown hair, you know? You need to be okay with it.
You may find some peace in the truth. And right now, I think the truth is your narrative and what you have in your mind. And there's probably a lot of elements of the truth in there. But there is a such thing as the truth. There's your truth. There's his truth. And then once everybody can see context to everything, there's the truth. And here's what happened. And if you'd like a full picture of the context of the truth, then you'll have to have that conversation. If you'd like to continue going with your narrative of your truth, cool. But then don't be wondering forever what the actual truth is if you never went out and tried to find it.
Yeah, it's a really good point. You know, we all have our interpretation of things, and they're not always right.
No, they rarely are.
Yeah.
and the sooner people can accept that, the easier life gets. It's all about context. And there's this thing like, well, if I hear this, then that means I agree with it, or this, or I'm going to forgive it. No, it doesn't. It just means you have a better understanding, and we can all have a better understanding of everyone's context and where they're coming from. Not everything is from a place of malice and evil and hurt and trying to discriminate and trying to do this or that. No, it's not. It really fucking isn't. But we do. And I'm not trying to say this person is trying to be a victim, because I don't. I think they're just confused. But there's a lot of fucking people who just want to create a way to be a victim, and they'll invent any fucking way they can, even with those that love them. Eventually, they alienate them because they fucking act like they're persecuting somebody when they're not. So, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, it's very easy to go down that route. But you're in control. You're an adult. Go do what you want. Have the conversation. Don't. Whatever. But
well, and I would also stress, you know, this is obviously something weighing on this person's head. Maybe some counseling would be in order to figure out, you know, how this all affected you and how you're going to live your life with the shit that you dealt with.
Yeah.
Figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Own it.
Yeah.
And deal with it.
It's not fair, but yes, own it, deal with it. Don't be a victim to it.
Amen.
That's it.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Oh my God. Look we got an amen coming from over here too. This is like,
amen, daughter. You're the one whose butt sold those lottery tickets from me years ago, and you pushed me down the stairs.
If you're wondering what that's about, you got to listen to our other podcast, True Crime Today, where Stacey talks about how she rigged the lottery system in the 1980s.
It's a good story.
Episodes around December 9th or so on True Crime Today. To find that. All right, that's going to wrap up today's episode of My Crazy Family. If you like the show, well, hey, be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any episodes of it. And get access to all the commercial-free episodes, the archive, and everything ad-free at Apple Podcasts. Just search us there, My Crazy Family. Press subscribe and try it for 3 days free. Until next time, for Stacey, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to My Crazy Family.
Let crazy and insane, my crazy family.